here. There we go. That sounds more like I'm, like the microphone is actually on. So this room is small enough that we can shout if we have to, but it's just way easier on my throat if I don't have to. So I appreciate that. I used to, when I was a school teacher, I taught classes. Some were this big. We never had any microphones, and you have to just speak to the back of the wall. That's how you do it. So anyhow. Glad to see you guys. We're totally blessed. We're one of the things I want to do before we get started is I just want to take a minute and pray for the people up in Oregon that that were all affected by the people who got killed at that junior college up there, or community college, and just pray for their families and pray for, you know, there were people shot who didn't die, and then there were people obviously who lost loved ones. So let's just pray for them real quick, okay? Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you are the great God that you are. And Lord, we don't know why things happen. We know there is sin in the world. We know that people do bad things. We know that, Lord, there were just a case of just a sad case of what happened. And we pray especially, Father, for all the families who were affected. We pray, first of all, for people who were shot and injured and wounded, that they would have a good recovery and recover all use of their, legs and arms and everything else. And then, Father, pray for the families of the people that lost loved ones, that you would just comfort their hearts. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that somehow through this tragedy, your grace would be evident, Lord, that you would be in some way glorified through this. We just pray that lives would be changed and people would look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I say, that was just a sad case of what happened up there. And it's bad. So anyhow, that's as far as I'm going to go on that. I don't have any more editorial comments to make, really, to speak of. It was bad. Now I'm going to go from there to the lighter side. And I don't I hadn't really thought about this transition, but I am going to go kind of a little lighter right now, because right now here is, we just got this cat not too long ago. And so I was thinking about something, and I was wondering, now, what does this cat have to do with Isaac Newton? Now, the connection's a little bit iffy, okay? But the cat is named Chamomile because she fits in a teacup. It's very small. It's a little runt, just a little tiny thing. Isaac Newton, when he was born, he wasn't expected to live. He was born 11. Nobody's sure exactly, obviously, at this point, and we were talking about 300-400 years ago. But he was born approximately 11 to 15 weeks early. And his mother said that he could fit in a quart-sized cup when he was born. So he would fit, he's a little bitty guy they didn't think he was going to survive. So that's my connection. The cat's small, Isaac was small. But he did go on and do a few things. One, he developed optic theory. That was one of his first things he did. He had the prism and saw the light split into different colors. And then he came up with a theory that white light is the combination of all colors of light. And his example was, here's white light coming in and different colors coming out. So, okay. Then he developed, later on, you've probably heard of this story of the of sitting out and seeing an apple fall. We're not really sure if that's a true story or not. It could be apocryphal. In other words, it could just be a story. And whether that actually happened or not, he did develop a theory for gravity and the theory that was used for about 300 years to explain how the universe works. And so that was pretty good. And he's credited, when I was in school, he was credited with inventing calculus. Now, I didn't write down the other guy's name, but there was somebody else who at the same time also invented calculus. So he's one of the two men credited with inventing calculus, which, of course, that was necessary for him to describe the motions and all that, because you have to have the math to do it. Anyhow, but with all the things he did, and he's considered some people, in 1999, I think he was voted the second most influential scientist in history, after Albert Einstein. But one of the things he said, a quote from him that I think is good, is he said, if I have seen further than others, it's by standing upon the shoulders of giants. And one of the things that happens is a guy like this, he gets a lot of credit for all the stuff he did. And rightly so, and he deserves it. But he didn't get there from ground zero. He had people helping him. In fact, the whole system in England at the time to make him a professor at Cambridge, the fact that there were universities, if he would have been born in another place with no schools and no anything, he wouldn't have done all this stuff. He would have been scratching out a living in the ground and hopefully surviving. And he probably wouldn't have survived with the way he was born. But all that said is he got to where he was because he started where others had already gone and others had already done. And the fact is, we all need others to get wherever we're going to go. Now, is there a part of it where, look, you do it, you work, you study, you do all the things to make it happen? Absolutely. But then, did you do that by yourself? Not really. There's always a support structure around you. And one of the things we're going to switch to now is we're going to go over to back to the book of, here we go, Romans. No, I went too far. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, we're back to Romans. And really, we're going to finish out the book of Romans over this week and next week. And this week, I was going to try to do it all at once, but the distinction is quite big between the topic or the subject matter of the first half and the subject matter of the second half. So I decided to divide it into two. We don't have a schedule that I have to keep. You're all going to graduate the same, one way or the other. And we're going to go to that. And so, anyhow, we'll go back on to the next page here. Romans 16, we're going to be in 1 through 16. I commend you, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Now, what this probably means, and what we're going to go, before I get started talking about Phoebe for a second, what we're going to have here is, I think, 26 different people Paul lists and says greetings and things. Most of them are mentioned as having helped him, having done something. The one that's a little distinct is Phoebe, and she's the first one. The reason she's distinct is because he's commending her to the church. So it seems as though maybe this letter of the Rome, or that Paul wrote to the Romans, Phoebe is probably delivering it, or she's with the people who are delivering it, because all the rest of them, he says, greet them. Like, oh, here's there. Oh, hey, say hi to this one. Say hi to that one. Say hi to the other one. This one, he's saying, I commend you, Phoebe. And so, because Phoebe's showing up with this letter, so you've just read this long letter handed to you by Phoebe. Hey, by the way, Phoebe here, I commend you to her. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. One of the things, there where it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Phoebe was somebody who served. And the word here, in some translations it says deacon or deaconess or something like that. And here it just says servant. It really, the word is the same word that means deacon. And I think sometimes most churches that I know of have an office called deacon. I don't really believe in that, by the way, because some people ask me, what about deacons? Who are deacons? Let me this be a good point to explain that. The word is deacon means servant, to serve. Really, in the New Testament, in the New American Standard Version, that's the only one I could find a list of account for. It says deacons is used, the word deacons is, diakonos is translated deacons 3 times. It's translated minister 7 times. It's translated servant 10 times. And the plural servants 9 times. So it's translated 3 times deacon and 26 times something else. The fact is, the word is deacon or diakonos. It's just take the translation of when I say, for example, if I go down to the Mexican restaurant and I say, I want a burrito, that's just taking a Mexican or a Spanish word and turning it and becoming an English word. It's not really translating it. And that's when they use the word deacon. That's not a translation. So if I went to the to the taco shop and says, could I have a carne asada burrito, right? Do I want to translate that? Could I please have a roasted flesh little donkey? That's a translation, right? But we just take the word and just use it in English. And so, and that's what this is. So part of the reason for that, I believe, is because once, by the time it was translated into English in about the 1500s, there was already like a structure of how churches were run. So when it came to describing servants, there was already an office in the church called this. So, okay, now how are we going to do this? And also that's why the word baptize was translated or just used. It's the word Greek word bautizo, and it was just, let's just change it into an English word instead of translating it. Because it means dip or submerge or immerse, something like that. But then they just kept, because you already had a practice of sprinkling, so it doesn't really make sense. Hey, let's go down and submerge the baby. Well, how are you going to do that? By sprinkling a couple drops? Well, that's not what that is. And here it was kind of that, like, okay, there was this list about being a servant. And so, let's put a, call that this that we're already, we won't really translate that, but we translate it every place else. So to me, here's the thing it's saying. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who's been serving. Who's been serving. This is what she's been ministering. This is what Christians do. This isn't an office. This is who Christians are and what they do. I know I'm a pastor, and if you want, some people call pastors ministers. Fine. Hopefully, if you're a pastor, you are ministering, so that's cool, that fits. But you know what? I was a minister before I was a pastor because I served. I taught Sunday school. I helped with the offering. I used to drive the church bus around and pick kids up. We had a work day. I'd show up. Whatever anybody asked me to do, I'd do. I organized the library. I set up all kinds of crazy stuff, whatever anybody wanted. Why? Because that's called serving. Now, my role now is called pastor, and God's put me in that role of pastor. But before I was a pastor, I was a servant because I was a Christian. And so if we're a Christian, that means we... And he's going, look, she's a great gal. She's been serving at this church in Sincrea. Now, most of you probably know where El Cajon is, not quite as clear on Sincrea, okay? So, therefore, bring out the maps, right? So, Corinth is right on that map. You can see it pretty well. Let's see if I can do this. I've got a little trick here that might be able to do. Okay, here we go. Here's Corinth, right? Is that coming up with a red dot? Oh, look, me drawing. That's not the one I wanted. Here, I just wanted a little dot. There we go. Here's, and then Sincrea is right there. That's such a fun toy that I wanted to try it once. Okay. And then, a lot of times they would use this, all the ships and things would go through Corinth, and they would go that way because if you sailed up back above Achaia there and the Greek peninsula, there's just a little narrow of water that would be a lot calmer. And then they would take the materials, either there were some things they would do with small boats, they had like a little ramp, you could run it across over to the other side, or they would just unload the boat on this side and load it up on the other side, and then with maybe a wagon or something to haul it across, and then that would pick up around Sincrea, and then you could sail from there out across to maybe Ephesus, for example, and it would be shorter. If you were coming from Italy or the Adriatic Sea, it would be shorter, calmer, and safer, so they went that way. So this was a major port city. Now, to see where exactly they were, I was switched to a modern map. This was Google Maps, and then with the color enhanced a bit. So anyhow, so I'll just zoom in. So here's Greece. It's getting closer. The little dot is where Sincrea is. Here it is. And then here, I mapped it out to see how long it would take to get there. So if you go from Sincrea to Corinth walking, it's about an hour and 50 minutes. To get us a little perspective, I tried to figure out, so I did a Google map walking thing. So that's about like walking from here to San Diego State. If you walk down to Amaya, over to Fletcher, down Fletcher, across to Baltimore, down El Cajon Boulevard to Montezuma, and you get to San Diego State, that's about like walking across that peninsula. So that would be the distance they would. Well, she was from that church down there, that Cenchrea, and she had been serving there. Paul had been in Corinth. He'd been through Cenchrea. It mentions it in Acts 18. He was there, so he knew her, and he knew, and she's went and possibly traveled with him. Anyhow, now he's got this letter, and he sends it with her. And here's the walk. I forgot to show you the walk guy. Here's my little guy walking. There you go. Hour and 50 minutes. Takes him. He did it really fast. Okay. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So apparently, number one, he's saying, look, here's Phoebe. She's a great gal serving people over here. Welcome her in. And if she needs some help, help her, because she's helped a lot of people. And the idea of patron means that she's probably been supporting financially Paul and many others. And so she probably has somebody that has a little bit of money, and she's not, you know, super poor, but she's there. She's maybe with business. For whatever reason, she has money. For whatever reason, she's been helping Paul. She's been helping others. She goes, look, if she needs some help, help her. What's that mean? Well, she's got a U-Haul, and she needs some help unloading the van. Go get some guys over there and help it, or whatever it needs, right? So that's the kind of thing. So he recommends her. And today we're going to look at the greetings, the rest of the people that Paul sent, and just kind of quickly go through them. First, well, the next one's also pretty well known. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Paul had met Priscilla and Aquila when they were in Corinth, and they had been kicked out of Rome, had gone to Corinth. Paul met them and stayed with them, remember, because they were also tent makers, did the same trade as Paul, so they worked together. Then, apparently, by this time, when Paul's writing this on his third missionary journey, meanwhile, they have moved back to Rome. So they're there, and he says, hey, greet them. And because, you know what? We don't know when this happened, but they risked their necks for me. They did what, it could have been at the riot at Ephesus, could have been some other place. Paul seemed like he was attacked and beat up, and all kinds of things happened, and his friends helped him. So they were there. And he says, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. You know what? We're really thankful. All the churches of the Gentiles are thankful because without them, I might not be alive. So thankful for them. And then he says, greet also the church in their house. And this, on Thursday, we were discussing 1 Corinthians 14 about gifts and order of how this should all work and all that. And one of the things that struck me, I don't know if it was Thursday or before that, but not that long ago, was that when it's describing the church and the order of things in 1 Corinthians 14, I see the description fitting very well with the small group of us sitting around discussing things. Hey, don't everybody... Look, I've been around plenty of groups where we all shout at once, including myself, okay? We're all talking, everybody's going, and everybody's... Whoa, just a second. What's this guy have to say? Oh, what's this one have to say? Let's listen. Let's think through. Let's have some order. And I think it fits, at least with my culture and the way I think, the description fits way more a small group where we're discussing things than it does a situation like this where we really don't do much discussion. I end up give a presentation and we think about it, but I don't usually take a lot of questions. We don't usually do interactions. But I do think this is another reason why, like, in the New Testament, they had cases where there were bigger groups. And Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And throughout Acts, there's places where people preach. And that's definitely part of it. But then there's also these small groups or home churches or like this that says greet the church in their house. And I think several of these people that we're going to see are people that could easily be home church leaders. So they would have basically what we would call a small group in their home. The people that meet, they discuss things, they talk about it. And, you know, that's so often where so much really ministry gets done. When we have our, I can do little plugs for all the little small groups we have, but you know what? Be part of one. I think the men that meet on Thursday morning, we have a great time. And we get to know each other. We encourage each other. You find out what someone thinks. if you say, you can say something and someone could also make a comment about it, that either maybe you're headed off this way and it kind of cuts you off a little bit, or maybe it just, you're headed this way and just kind of adds to it. That's whatever. It's how you're helping each other and growing. A lot of times if we get into a situation where we're just sitting and listening, that's good, because we want to learn. And look, bring everybody you want. Try to make it where people can understand what they're hearing and how they can make it. But, you know, really growth takes place when you start asking some questions. I've been studying French. I'm hoping to go to France someday. My friends Billy that we pray for here, they're going to retire. So I was hoping maybe before they leave, I could take a week or something and go find some cheap airplane tickets and go over and see my friends in France. So I've been studying with an app on my phone called Duolingo. Okay? But the thing it does really well is you get instant feedback. It says, repeat this, you repeat it. Comes up with a little red flag. That doesn't sound quite right. I've seen that one a lot. Okay? Or, you know, some of it's just like, okay, but it has a sentence. You put in what you think it is, and then it comes up either yes or no. But like that, you know. And that instant feedback, the feedback helps so much. Because when we get off base, if you're playing baseball, you step off the base, instant feedback, the first baseman tags you with the ball. You're out. Go have a seat. Maybe next time I should make sure I know who has the ball. You learn by that. We get feedback. We interact. We find out. Listen, Paul's saying, look, Priscilla and Aquila are great, and they've just been such a blessing to me. And you know what? Greet them. And plus, I'm sure at this point they have a group meeting at their house. Greet the whole group, please. And he goes on. Some of these other arrests are not quite as well known, but we'll see what we can figure out. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. You know what's funny is the first convert to Christ in Asia. Now he's over in Rome. And they were a little bit mobile on their society. So here's this guy in Rome. And you know, it's kind of fun. Paul, remember the first missionary journey he was in kind of eastern Turkey. Then the second missionary journey he went up and he wanted to go to Asia, but God forbid him in the spirit. So he went over across to Macedonia and went around and came this way. Then on this third trip, he did go into Asia. And the first guy converted was Epaphroditus. And you know, there's something about somebody, if you show somebody and teach them who Jesus is, and they accept Christ, and you see him growing, and especially the first person that ever happened in your life, you don't forget it. I remember, I don't know if it was the first person that ever accepted Christ when I was talking to him or not, but I remember this guy was one of the first, if it wasn't the first. And I think it was the first. His name was, as far as like another adult, I'd been in like teaching Sunday school classes or little vacation Bible schools and had kids accept Christ. But as far as another adult who was pretty much my age, there was this guy named Rod. And it was when we lived in Antioch. And he came and visited church a couple times. And then I went over to his house and I was talking to him. And we were standing in the garage and he was drinking some beer. And we were talking, and I said, well, you know, Rod, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes. And I said, well, let's pray. So he says, okay. So he has his can of beer. He's praying, you know, asking God, asking Jesus to come into his life. You know what? He's the only guy I've ever prayed with to receive Christ that was holding a can of beer at the time. But it was quite memorable. And you know what? I haven't seen Rod in a long time, but I know he was in the church there for a good 10 years after that. And like I say, I haven't been up there for a long time, so I haven't seen him. But you know, whenever we would come by and see him, and we were part of that church together for a few years, and then when I was a missionary, I would come back and visit, and he would be there. And he, you know, several times he let us stay at his house, and he was just totally a blessing. And I'm thinking of the chapel. When the chapel first started in 2004, I think Alex was the first person saved, that as an adult that got saved. And you know what? It had totally been a blessing to see God working in his life and growing. And this is, I just kind of think if we kind of make it a little like personal, like who is this guy? This is Paul's friend that was the first guy in Asia. Asia is the western province in what's Turkey today. At that time, now we call it Asia Minor, but or in the whole continent of Asia. But when he says Asia, he's talking about the province of Asia, which would be like where Ephesus and that bit of the western part. I guess I should have thrown up my maps again, but whatever. In fact, I can. Ooh, look, I can do more tricks with this. Here we go. See, Asia is that part of Turkey over there, just that western end. Okay, see if I can find the right one. Here's Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, we're back over to this guy, I think. Here we go, Epaphras. And then the next one, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Mary. And now some places it says it calls her name, in some manuscripts it calls her Miriam, which is the Hebrew name. So she's probably Jewish, a very common Jewish name. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. These people were related to Paul. Probably some, based on my kinsmen, might have been like some distant cousins or part of his, like he's from the tribe of Benjamin. They might have been part of that tribe of Benjamin, and he'd call them his kinsmen. But they were his kinsmen and his fellow prisoners. At one point or another, they've been in prison as well. Or maybe they've been shipped to Rome ahead of him. And maybe they, you know, Paul had been in Caesarea in prison, so maybe they've shipped these ahead, so they're his fellow prisoners. And then they're well known to the apostles. In some it says they were who were of note among the apostles, which some people take as they were part of the apostles, but there's never them listed as, I think this is a better fit. They're well known. The apostles knew them, and they were in Christ before me. Remember, Paul was a persecutor. Well, these are some long-lost cousins who were well-known to the apostles who came to know Christ before I did. Hey, would you greet them as well? And then you have Ampliatus. Also, we're doing like a little testing of my pronunciation of these names today. My beloved in the Lord. Ampliatus, who loved the Lord. Now, this is, according to what I read about this, this is a common Roman name at the time period. It showed up in the imperial household often. So this could have been when Paul said, hey, greet those who are in Caesar's household. Somebody like him is who it was. If it wasn't this particular individual, somebody like that. They lived in Caesar's household, yet they knew Christ. The church had reached all levels of society. Greet Urbanus, another Roman name. Our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Urbanus, another common Roman name, and most likely, possibly another, our fellow worker in Christ, possibly another missionary, or somebody who's gone out like Priscilla and Aquila and teaching the Bible, and this other friend, Stachys. And then there's, greet Apelles, who's approved in Christ. And this is a typical Jewish name. So you have the Roman names, the Jewish names, you have the different levels, people part of the Roman emperor's group, part of not. This one, greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus, let's go with that. Those who are the household, this person may have been related to the Herods, and people think that he was related to Herod the Agrippa I, but he lived in Rome as a private citizen. And his household would mean his greeting to his family and servants and everybody who lived there. So usually these guys would have, I mean, some of these families, they would be the guy, his household, his kids, his wife, if they had servants, that whole thing. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Herodian, another relative, probably same kind of thing, probably a distant relative. Otherwise he would say my cousin or my uncle or my whatever more closely, but he's a relative. He's somebody who's a kinsman. And this person was probably also a Jew, probably not direct family, probably more of like long-lost cousin kind of thing, but still part of it. And greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Narcissus, you know, that's the name that comes from a Roman god who stared at himself, and then when he'd never seen anything so beautiful as that in his whole life. And that's why if somebody's narcissistic, they kind of think they're the greatest. Anyhow, but Narcissus, that was this guy's name. And there were apparently some of the family of Narcissus weren't Christians, because he says, greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. And then some people identify this person with a guy named Tiberius Claudius Narcissus, who was a powerful man who had been killed by the emperor Claudius, who was executed by Nero. And then at some point, all of his possessions became part of Roman imperial. They just took over everything. So it could easily be that Paul was sent his greetings to these believers among Narcissus, who were now property of the Roman government. And then we have, go to the next guy, here it is. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Tryphena and Tryphosa, women's names, probably sisters, most likely sisters, very likely possibly twins as well, because the names are so similar. That's why they think that. And these are women that were workers in the Lord. These are women that are serving and helping and being part of what God was doing in that place. And then greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Another woman, Persis, woman's name. She's been another person who's working in the Lord. And then greet Rufus. Rufus was a pretty common name. There's other Rufuses mentioned in the New Testament. Could be the same guy, not sure. Rufus means red. So probably like red hair or red, like redhead kind of idea. So if we would have realized this, we could have named Noah Rufus. And I would have suggested that as a name, but I didn't think of it before that. So, and he was chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Rufus' mother, I think this is interesting that he mentions, look, greet Rufus, and who's been a blessing, but also greet Rufus' mother. And she's, and some people speculate that maybe Rufus' mother had hosted Paul when he was in some city or something like that, and she's been a blessing to him. You know what? There's always a place, everybody needs another mother. It seems like everybody needs somebody to care for them. And I mean, that's what we're saying, right? She's been like a mother to me, means that, wow, she cared for him and probably fed him and probably said, oh, hey, you know what? Why don't you take it easy? Why don't you rest here? Why don't you do this? And he's blessed by that. Greet, we're going to hit a few here at once. We don't really know a whole lot about them, but greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. People speculate these are probably like other house church leaders, small group leaders type thing. Greet Philologus, Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. So these are probably also, these are kind of on this one list, and when it says all the saints are with them, kind of gives you the idea that they're small group leaders or small church, house church leaders. And he's saying, hey, greet them too. And these are people, what happened is the church was pretty good size. Paul mentions 26 people here, which is one of the most. But part of the thing is, since he doesn't know the church and he's never been there, he knows a few people who are there that he's met. He's traveled all around, and a lot of people were attracted to Rome as a center of the universe at that point, and of all the known world. And Paul knew these people, so he's saying, hey, at the church, greet this one, this one. And he knows these people, and these are people who's worked with. And like I said at the beginning with Isaac Newton, nobody does anything by themselves. Nobody accomplishes anything by themselves. If all you are is by yourself, you start thinking, well, it's just, the world isn't fair and I'm just by myself. But when you be part of a community and people work together and we help each other and we bless each other and we grow together, God does amazing things. And he may pick out one person to do something, but you know what? That person doesn't do the thing without support. My son-in-law was a Navy SEAL, who I've only mentioned that 1,000 times, so you probably all are aware of that. But you know what? One of the things about that is all, you know, and he used to have video of him, and like that they'd taken night video off of a helicopter of him and his team boarding a ship and taking it over. We used to ask him, well, what do you do? Well, it's kind of like a pirate, but, you know, not exactly, because we're, you know, sent by the, you know, our command, but But basically, he was especially in the Persian Gulf during the time when there was the embargo on Iraqi oil, and they were enforcing the embargo. And what he would do is they would go get these ships, take them over. But you see these, like, for example, there's one place where, I remember one where there's the little office where they run the ship, which that's like such a nautical term, right? The office where they run the ship. And so, but there's two guys standing on one side of it, and they look like they're smoking cigarettes or something, because you can kind of see this glowing in the dark. And then him and this whole line of Navy SEALs are coming along this other line with their rifles out like this, and they come around the corner, and those two guys are there, and they just immediately throw their hands up, and probably if it wasn't that outcome, they wouldn't have shown us the video. But these guys immediately surrender. He said that no one ever tried to fire on them because no one was that dumb. You know, they were like, you have 15 Navy SEALs pointing rifles at you. You better just put your hands up. Anyhow, but the thing is, that was all really cool. But you know what? He couldn't do that without a boat driver to take him up to it. And then that boat driver couldn't do that without a ship where there's food and warm showers and all this, and then supplies and gasoline for the boat. And then they wouldn't do that if there wasn't some paymaster at some place back over here. And then he wouldn't do that if there wasn't somebody to, like, hand out towels at the lock. You know, like, it goes all the way back. It's a whole team, and everybody on that, in that chain, is all part of it. And Paul, yeah, we read Paul. Oh, man, Paul's such a great man. Paul did so much. Paul wrote half the New Testament. Paul went around the world. Paul preached the gospel. He was the gospel to the Gentiles. But Paul didn't do it alone. Paul did it with a bunch of other people helping him. And Paul, and people criticized him. You know, we go through the whole list of all the things that were wrong. Paul got stoned. But you know, when he got stoned, he went to somebody's house and they helped him and wiped off the cuts and said, "Hey, rest here." And when he was trapped in one city in Damascus, remember, then the other ones let him out in a basket out of the wall. Well, he couldn't jump out by himself. They had to let him down. Like, part of this whole thing is seeing who you are and where you are, and that every person's important in God's kingdom.
Guys, there we go. So then it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. It's kind of an idea here would be shaking hands. I know when we do our little greeting thing around, shake hands. Some people, we kind of give them a hug. Some people, something else. Let me see if I can get this plugged in, if it's going to work real quick. If not, I'll just stay with a handheld. There we go. Is that working? Online there, Scott? It sounds like it. There we go. So anyhow, this is kind of greet one another with a holy kiss. I knew a guy in a church not too far from here that was like, when he was a pastor and somebody came up to him and goes, "Look, it says here, greet each other with a holy kiss. How come we don't kiss at church?" And the other guy was like really like strict about, "Man, it has to be do exactly." He says, "Well, I don't know." "Well, come on." And the other guy's just like pounding on him like, "Well, why not?" He's like, "We just don't." And that was, you know. Well, I think the idea is it's the greeting. Now, I noticed when I first got back here from Spain and I was preaching in Mexican churches, then the Mexican culture, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they kiss one cheek like, "There you go, good." In Spain, it was always two. Boom, boom. In France, it was kind of tricky because they would do two, boom, boom. But then four or three. And it kind of depended on who you were and how close you were to them. So it could be, I always felt that was, I like Spain, Mexico, I'm cool with that. But this two, three, or four, depending on our relationship, that's like too much uncertainty for me. I'll shake hands. That's the end of this thing here. Like, because especially if you think you're a two and they think you're a three, You think you're a three. They think you're a two. You know, it's just like, no, I'm not doing that. So even in my learning French, I may just have to figure out how to adapt to that part of it. But the so greet one another with a whole. So you know what? This is, though, taking a moment, taking some time, and greet people and look them in the eye and go, man, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? What can I do? And you know, just like, it's great. I think, number one, as a whole group, we do really well on this. Maybe I'm just like wrong. Everybody's really nice to me, so it's hard for me to tell how you all are being to each other. You know what I'm saying? But everybody's great. But I do think that this is something that sometimes I've noticed this, that I do, is sometimes I kind of start over here and go around this way and come around here, go around the back and come over here. That's what I do every Sunday. I've been threatening to go down here, walk up this one, come down this one, go around the back side of that and come over to my seat just for a change. Because you know what? Everybody sits more or less the same places, so I end up pretty much greeting the same people every week. Now, that's not trying to short people in the middle or here or anything like that, but it's just kind of like I get into ruts. I don't know about you. My wife's always told me this. When we start going out together and I always got three hamburgers and a strawberry milkshake at this one place every single time, she thought that was like, at first she didn't even notice it until about the 30th time there. And what are you going to get? Well, I think I'll go with the three hamburgers and a strawberry milkshake. And so I tend to be a person that gets into ruts. Like I tend to be somebody that I have my path and that's what I do. But you know what? One of the things I really want to encourage us today, let's just go to the conclusion, the church. Number one, it's a place to grow. It's a place, like all those people, that guy that was, I don't remember his name now, but like my friend Rod, or the first person that was saved in Asia, hey, you know, but now he's serving God. Paul's cousins or long-lost cousins that were well-known to the apostles, but now, you know, and they got saved before he did. Well, Paul grew. They grew. Greet them. Well, what about Priscilla and Aquila? What about this, you know, Herodias? And what about Julia and all these different ones that were mentioned? Hey, you know what? They're growing in the Lord. Like, everybody starts where you are, and really part of the church, it's a place for us to grow. I talked to somebody the other day, and it's like, well, how do I change my life around? And well, you know, like, one thing you can do is just start doing things you know you can do. Well, before I'm going to, like, one thing, I think it's great, be here. Well, I don't know how to witness to people. Invite somebody to come. We're going to be in the Word. I don't know what, part of the thing is sometimes people go, well, do you always say, this is what you need to do to be saved? No, I don't usually do that. Sometimes. I'm going to today, by the way. But you know what? One of the things about this is, I don't know what you need. I know what the Bible says. I know we all need what's here. I know that truth is truth. And if it's not good for everybody, it's not good for anybody. So look, I don't know. You start preaching the Word and just sharing what it says. And I don't know who needs what today. I just ask God, show me the next thing. What's this saying? Can we just communicate that? I'll be doing well. And you know what? God uses that. So I really encourage you. Look, if you have friends, well, you know, I'm not this or that. Sometimes people come to church and go, well, I'm not comfortable here because everybody else has it so together. Wow. I don't think you know everybody else. Because we don't have it all together. Kind of looks like, you know, you come to church. I even put a jacket on today. That was pretty cool. Might have noticed. I just got this jacket last year so that on cold days I could wear it to church because I get kind of cold. And my windbreaker, my wife didn't think that was appropriate for me to wear at church. So I got a jacket that looks okay, but it's wool. It feels pretty comfy. So, look, a place to grow. You come, you grow. When you grow, how do you grow? You grow by serving. You grow by helping. You grow by blessing other people. One of the things that God established the church as a place for us to grow through serving each other, serving our community, serving each other, serving the Lord in some direct way. But it all comes down to me caring about somebody else. And you know what that does? That causes me to grow. And when you get out of yourself and go, look, I'm going to do something to help somebody, you'll grow in your walk. You may help them as well. That's great. But I used to take groups to Mexico a lot. We'd build, you know what, the people always ended up being the most blessed were the people I went to help other people. We think, well, we helped them. But you know what, I think they were usually happy and they were fine that we did what we did. But the people that I saw the biggest impact were the people who went and served. Look, this is a place to grow. And how do you grow? You grow by helping people. You grow by serving people. Part of it, one thing I really recommend for you, if you can be, like, if you look at the calendar and there's like, hey, you know what? I'd like to be in a small group. I know Bob is planning on starting a small group on Wednesday nights. We don't have anything on Wednesday night right now. And he wants to start one at his home out in Lakeside. Hey, I'm in Lakeside. Hey, I have Wednesday night free. Hey, this is a chance to get to know some people, to minister to them, to start praying for them. I think part of the thing that everybody who says, oh, I can't come to church because everybody there has it so together, they haven't been in the small groups and heard what people really think and what's really happening in people's lives. So we're praying for each other, and we get to know each other, and we pray for each other, and we help each other, and we encourage each other. And that's huge. And that makes it a place to grow. And we need each other. You know, Paul couldn't do what he did. I can't do what I do without you guys. You guys can't. It's hard. We can't. We all need each other. We live in a web of network of people that we all need each other. And we, you know, when Paul was there, and we look at the book of Romans, and we kind of like, if I've seen a lot of little pamphlets and things that describe what's the message of Romans, the main point of this is the gospel, right? That, look, we've all sinned. It applies to everybody. We all need to accept Christ. And we need to, you know, we need to believe. I like the ABC approach, because if I have an acrostic or a little help me remember things. Look, A, all have sinned. B, we got to believe. And C, we confess Christ. That's really the main message of Romans. But then he does throw in these other things. He's going to Rome. He's hoping to go to Spain. He's got these friends. He couldn't do it. He's hoping they'll help him on his way. He's hoping that, you know, like these others have helped him in the past. He talked about this churches in Macedonia that he's taking this offering right now to help him in Jerusalem. They're all helping each other. It's how it works. And through this of helping and seeing how what each other's needs are and how we can help with them, this helps us to grow. Ministry isn't something you do because you're a minister or a pastor. It's something you do because you're a Christian. And then this is, we let people know that we care. Hey, I care. And how do you do that? Usually through serving. Usually through ministering to whatever their needs are. And God does that. Look, here's what I want to do today. We're going to finish up. We have the offering coming up. And then what we're going to do is have the announcements, and then we're going to dismiss everybody. And I'm going to pray here in just a second. But what I'd like you to encourage you to do is today, take the first like 3 minutes after the service ends. And you guys doing a song at the very end? Or are you just dismissing after the announcements? Okay, Mike will dismiss us at the end of the announcements. And then take a minute, take the first 3 minutes, and go say hi, greet someone who you haven't greeted in the last 3 weeks. If you're like me, you might have to walk across the room. You might have to go over here. You might have to do something. But just go, you know, greet somebody. Tell them, hey, good to see you. Hey, you might have to go, hey, what's your name? Hopefully you don't have to do too much of that. But, you know, there's people who are new. You haven't seen them. You've just got to meet them. Let God allow you to bless and minister to somebody else today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy. I thank you that Paul really did amazing things for you, and he's quite the hero.